Well, good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. Like I said, yeah, go Bucks, right? I didn't even get to watch the game. I was at an Indians game. Go Tribe. So I hope you would join us after the service over at Archbold for the Shalom fundraiser as they raise money. That's an organization that we really support. They support us, so we support them. Hey, have you ever been watching TV and catch one of those car dealership commercials that says anyone can buy a car here? But then you notice the fine print at the bottom of the screen and see that anyone really means people who pass their credit check and have big enough down payment, right? Or maybe you've tried to get a special deal on a cell phone plan you heard about and the commercial claimed this new deal was for anyone, only to be told that discount only applies to a certain group of customers. It seems like whenever people say anyone is welcome or anyone can cash in on this deal, they don't really mean anyone. You with me? There's always some sort of catch, and that catch usually disqualifies you from the special deal that anyone can get, right? Did you know Jesus used the word anyone? Jesus used the word anyone in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus says this: if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. The invitation is for anyone. Jesus invites anyone. Anyone is welcome. But over the years, we've gotten to the point that even when we hear Jesus say anyone, we think, yeah, right. There's a catch. Here's the thing. There is no catch. There is no small print. There are no hidden fees. It's literally laid out in verse 23. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It's open to anyone. And when Jesus said anyone, the crowds and those gathered around could have taken one look at his disciples, and they would have known that when he said anyone, he meant anyone. You with me? Here's what you need to understand. Jesus was a rabbi. Homeless and maybe somewhat unconventional, but a rabbi nonetheless. And a rabbi was a teacher of God's word, which back then was the Old Testament. Rabbis had an extensive knowledge of the Torah, which were the first five books of the Bible, and then all the writings of the prophets. Now, rabbis had a group of Talmuds. The word Talmud is translated as disciple or student. So essentially, every rabbi had a class of students, and this was an incredibly exclusive group of students. Most people didn't end up as students of rabbis. In fact, those who didn't make the cut most often ended up learning some sort of trade, typically one that was passed down in their family: stonemasons, fishermen, or some kind of tradesmen. For those students wanting to become one of the Talmuds of a particular rabbi, they had to go through an application process. There were some big prerequisites before even being considered a Talmud. Think of it like the first connection of getting into a college. You have to submit your GPA and high school transcripts. If you want to go to Harvard, you have to have a 4.0 GPA, and you better have a 32 on your SAT or 1600 on your SAT and 32 on your ACT. Without those kind of stats, you're probably not going to get in, right? Well, it's the same with a Talmud applying to join a rabbi's school. Talmuds have an impressive knowledge of Scripture. And a rabbi would actually quiz a prospective Talmud, even asking them to recite an entire book or tell them the number of times the name of the Lord was used in the 11th chapter of Leviticus. How many can do that, right? This was an intense process. But rabbis had to be thorough because the excellence of the students reflected the excellence of the teacher. You with me? If the rabbi just let anyone in, it was clear he was not a sought-after teacher. But if a rabbi's group of Talmuds were especially brilliant, the rabbi would be respected and admired. Then came Jesus, who literally changed the system, especially when he invited a tax collector to be a Talmud. So when word gets out about a new rabbi who is picking out followers at random, people begin to question what was going on. They came to hear from this incredible teacher named Jesus, but when they looked at his disciples, they must have been confused, right? They must have shaken their heads and thought, these are his students? They're nobodies. Those two right there used to be fishermen. A few of them are just political hotheads. And that guy right there, he's a local tax collector. But then Jesus made the invitation, if anyone would come after me. And when the people heard that anyone could come learn from this incredible rabbi, there was a glimmer of hope. People who had given up the dream of learning from a rabbi a long time ago were now wondering if they'd be welcome in this new rabbi's group. And slowly, people started showing up and wanted to follow this rabbi, Jesus. They realized when he said anyone, he meant it. When Jesus said that anyone was welcome, the crowd began to understand that he meant everyone was welcome. And it's true. Anyone means everyone. Anyone means everyone. And here's the real struggle. Though we'd never say it, we don't always buy into the idea that church should be just for anyone. You with me? No? Everybody asleep? We need to get up and do jumping jacks? I mean, the real struggle, though we'd never say it, we don't always buy into the idea that church should be just for anyone. I mean, we kind of like church the way it is, don't we? We usually prefer things to stay the same. Obviously, look around. We change one thing this morning and half the church doesn't show up. We prefer things to stay the same. Don't go and do anything different, by golly. And same soon becomes standard. And pretty soon a standard becomes a qualification. You with me? You follow me? I think Jesus knew that's how things would go, and I think Luke 9:23 reminds us that there shouldn't be any qualifications. So Jesus just does away with the qualifications to follow. He got rid of the long list of prerequisites. He did away with the standard application process. And I think the church should do away with some of our qualifications. Now, we don't usually talk about it, but we've got our own unwritten code, don't we? Right? For instance, there's a kind of unwritten dress code, right? I mean, I'm sure there's some people that have a problem that I wear jeans to church and tennis shoes. There's an unwritten dress code. Don't wear shorts. You might get evil eyes, right? Over the past few decades, there's been a little bit of an unwritten political code. You with me? In most churches, there have also been all kinds of things added to their unwritten code, whether or not you should ever consume alcohol. Whether or not you should listen to this or that style of music. What is your income? What your social agenda is? What your denomination is? The list stacks up pretty quickly. Sure, the church keeps saying anyone is welcome, but when you look at how the members dress, what their political leanings they prefer, and what style of music they accept, it becomes clear that there are some qualifications. But Jesus didn't just get rid of the qualifications. When Jesus said anyone, he did something else. In eliminating the qualifications, Jesus got rid of all the excuses. No qualifications means no excuses. When Jesus invites anyone to follow him, he doesn't just break down the barriers that keep so many people from learning more about God. He also gets rid of all the excuses different people were hiding behind. So now the fisherman had no excuse not to follow a rabbi. Now the dropout student couldn't complain about his past anymore. So what's been your excuse? I think for most people, you've been holding off on a relationship with Christ because you say you're too busy. What's it for you? Is it because you are too busy putting in hours at your job? Is it because you've been really focusing on your marriage lately? Is it because the kids need a lot of attention? Is it because times have been tough and you just got a second job? There are others who say it's because they've got a past that they're not proud of. So the baggage from the addiction or the divorce or unhealthy relationship has been an excuse for a long time. It's easy to hide behind those kinds of excuses. Because who's going to argue with someone who's been through a tragedy or someone who's been emotionally scarred? But Jesus gets rid of all the excuses when he invites anyone. Anyone is welcome to have a relationship with Jesus. Anyone. Sexual past? Anyone. Ex-con? Anyone. Inmate? Anyone. Recently divorced? Anyone. Legalist? Anyone. Alcoholic? Anyone. Pothead? Anyone. Addict? Anyone. Hypocrite? Anyone. Now we need to be ready for what can happen when we embrace the invitation to anyone. Because if anyone can come to church, that'll kind of mess things up, right? All of a sudden, the church gets filled with a lot of unchurched people. If we really accept anyone into our churches to follow Christ, we'll be forced to deal with our unwritten codes. We'll be forced to get out of our comfort zones and rub shoulders with people from different backgrounds and social circles. People who have different music collections and recreational activities than you. People whose wardrobes look very different than yours. People who are hard to tolerate and even harder to love. But followers are willing to break down walls, trash the unwritten codes, and welcome anyone into God's family right alongside Jesus. Now, some of you might be having an issue with this. You're saying, wait a minute, we can't just let anyone into our church. We can't just let people show up, invite them into God's family, and then tolerate anything they want. That's not biblical. I'm not saying we tolerate or condone anything sinful. But when Jesus makes the invitation, he says anyone. So some of the people who respond to that invitation will have a past that you don't approve of. Some of them will have been involved in lifestyles you'd be embarrassed to hear about. Fans don't know how to handle new people like that. They prefer not to know. Fans prefer things to be shallow and comfortable. But followers are willing to listen, willing to hear stories of brokenness and sin and still welcome those people with open arms. The next point is crucial to making sure that we help all, both brand new Christians and longtime believers, move into a completely committed relationship with Jesus. And it's anyone, but it's everything. It's anyone, but it's everything. When Jesus makes his invitation, he welcomes anyone who would come after him. Anyone. But he also makes it clear that when you choose to follow him, you are giving up everything. So it's anyone, but it's everything. When a Talmud was finally accepted into a rabbi's school, they would leave their homes, their jobs, whatever was holding them back, and they would go and follow the rabbi. Just go and follow him. Literally, just went and followed him. They would follow the rabbi wherever he went. So if the rabbi decided to go to the market, his students would follow. And if the rabbi decided to go to another town, his students would follow. If the rabbi went to the synagogue, visited sick people, wherever the rabbi went, his students would follow. Now, to follow the rabbi named Jesus, this would have cost even more. Because if the rabbi decided to live without a home, guess what? His students would follow. And if Jesus, the rabbi, decided to go among the sinners and the shameful, those people, his students would follow. And if Jesus, the rabbi, decided not to flee from persecution, his students would follow. What about you? Are you willing to follow Jesus no matter the cost? In his book, Blue Like Jazz, Donald Miller tells this story. So says this: a long time ago, I went to a concert with my friend Rebecca. I heard this folk singer was coming to town, and I thought she might like to see him because she was a singer too. Between songs, though, he told a story that helped me resolve some things about God. The story was about his friend who was a Navy SEAL. He told it like it was true, so I guess it was true, although it could have been a lie. The folk singer said his friend was performing a covert operation freeing hostages from a building in some dark part of the world. His friend's team flew in by helicopter, made their way to the compound, and stormed into the room where the hostages had been imprisoned for months. The room, the folk singer said, was filthy and dark. The hostages were curled up in a corner, terrified. When the SEALs entered the room, they heard the gasps of the hostages. They stood at the door and called to the prisoners, telling them they were Americans. The SEALs asked the hostages to follow them, but the hostages wouldn't. They sat there on the floor and hid their eyes in fear. They were not of healthy mind and didn't believe their rescuers were really Americans. The SEALs stood there, not knowing what to do. They couldn't possibly carry everybody out. One of the SEALs, the folk singer's friend, got an idea. He put down his weapon, took off his helmet, and curled up tightly next to the other hostages. Getting so close, his body was touching some of theirs. He softened the look on his face and put his arms around them. He was trying to show them he was one of them. None of the prison guards would have done this. He stayed there for a little while until some of the hostages started looking at him. Finally, meeting his eyes, the Navy SEAL whispered that they were American and they were there to rescue them. "Will you follow us?" he said. The hero stood to his feet, and one of the hostages did the same, then another, until all of them were willing to go. The story ends with all the hostages safe on an American aircraft carrier. He goes on to say, "I never liked it when the preachers said we had to follow Jesus. Sometimes they would make him sound angry, but I like the story the folk singer told. I like the idea of Jesus becoming man so that we would be able to trust him, and I like that he healed people and loved them and cared deeply about how people were feeling. When I understood that the decision to follow Jesus was very much like the decision the hostages had to make to follow their rescuer, I knew then that I needed to decide whether or not I would follow him. The decision was simple once I asked myself, is Jesus the Son of God? Are we being held captive in a world run by Satan, a world filled with brokenness, and do I believe Jesus can rescue me from this condition?" That's what Jesus offers you. The greatest teacher who ever lived offers you the chance to become one of his students. And when Jesus says anyone, he means everyone. And with no qualifications, you've got no excuses. But even though he makes this invitation to anyone, he also guarantees that it will cost you everything. Are you ready? Are you willing to follow the rabbi Jesus? Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here this morning, Father. We pray for those that aren't here, whatever their hearts may be. Are they mad because we're doing church at a different time? Did they just forget? Are they just sleeping in? Father, we don't know. But I pray that we're willing to do whatever it takes to follow you, and we're willing to do whatever it takes to make more followers of you. And so if that means doing things a little bit differently, then we do things a little bit differently. Father, we just love you, and we thank you for everything you're doing in our lives and the life of this church. Help us to continue to be a people that are pursuing you more in our lives and pursuing people who don't know you. Father, we thank you for everything. We pray for the Shalom fundraiser this afternoon, Father, that they can raise just a bunch of money that can go towards helping more people. Father, continue to be with this organization that is literally, they're meeting so many needs, and they just need so much in order to do that. So, Father, bless them in their ministry as they continue to help people where they're at. And I hope that then points them towards you, Father. We just love you, and we thank you. Help us to continue to struggle and wrestle with the questions of, are you a fan or a follower of Jesus? Father, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.